Good afternoon. The work I'll be presenting is on phytoseed behavior as an underlying cause of phytoseed abundance on plants with differing levels of leaf trichomes. Habitat complexity can do several things. It can mediate predator-prey interactions, influence arthropod population density, and alter arthropod community structure. In the case of these phytoseed mites, the leaf structure that we're looking at today are these trichomes that you see on both the leaf blade in different cultivars and that can occur in the vein axils. As I mentioned, these leaf trichomes may influence the phytoseed population in a few ways. Some suggested ways this may occur are through first the capture of food, including pollen. They may mediate unfavorable environmental conditions, and they may help protect predators, these phytoseed predators, from their own predators. This accumulation of phytoseeds in these trichome-rich areas both occurs very rapidly and occurs in the absence of the three factors I just mentioned. The hypothesis underlying the work we did was that this predator behavioral response to these trichomes are an approximate means that underlie the end abundance we see on plants. So we had two objectives in this work. One was to look at the influence of some artificial fiber patch sizes that mimic these trichomes and the spatial arrangement of them on T. pyrae retention. And second, determine the behavioral mechanisms that might be causing some of these changes. The system we used was a bean seedling system for the plant and cotton fiber trichome mimics that served as our trichomes in these model plants. In all of the experiments we did, these retention patterns model those we've seen on grape with both natural trichomes and on grape with these trichome mimics used. Pollen in these experiments was used, and it does have an additive effect with these fibers. For all of the assays that I'll be showing you that involve these bean seedlings, we used 10 female T. pyrae that were placed on these plants for 72 hours. And after that time, the adults retained on the leaves were counted and analyzed with the logistic model. So our first question was, does the size of these artificial trichome patches increase retention as the size of the patch increases? So we tried a variety of sizes in two separate experiments, and I'll show you the data for those. Each of the colors represents a separate experiment, and we can see two things. First, on the y-axis is the proportion of adults that we retained on the leaves, and on the x-axis is the patch sizes. Anytime we put fiber on the leaves, we get far greater retention than on the control plants that have no fibers. The other significant conclusion from this is that there was no difference in the patch sizes. So when we have fiber present, we retain the mites at a much higher level. Our second question from there was, how does the arrangement of these fibers influence the retention? So if we put the same amount of fiber in one patch compared to spreading that amount of fiber out in 10 little patches, do we see similar retention? And it turns out we do. So again, this is proportion retained and patch size. Again, we get greater retention in both fiber treatments than in the control, and both fiber treatments are equivalent to each other. Our third question was asking whether we would see increased retention on these mites when we put the fiber patches on the upper leaf surface. In grape, the trichomes are on the lower leaf surface, and so we wanted to try and see just how strong of a behavioral stimulus these fibers were. So we put the fiber patches and pollen on either the bottom or the top of the leaf surface, and control plants in this case had no pollen. Again, retention on the y-axis, and across the x-axis are the treatments. The darker squares are the upper leaf surface, as are the darker bars in both figures. Starting with the adult retention, we see that any treatments that had fiber in them retained mites at a far greater level than the control as before. What also was apparent in these treatments is that when the fibers were placed on the lower leaf surface, the adults were retained on the lower surface. When the fibers are placed on the upper surface, the adults are retained in that upper surface. When we look at the number of eggs, however, the same trend holds true that when you have fibers, you have more eggs than on the control. What is different, however, is where the eggs are placed in the treatments. When you have fibers on the bottom of the leaf, all of the fibers or the eggs are placed on the lower leaf surface. When you place the fibers on the top, the mites distribute their eggs evenly between the upper leaf surface and the lower leaf surface, suggesting there's a very strong preference for that lower surface. So as a quick summary of what I've presented so far, anytime there's fiber present, we see greater retention, and the mites do seem to have a strong preference for the lower leaf surface. So I'll move on to that second objective of starting to look at some of the mechanisms that might be occurring with the mite behavior. Our first question in this section was, do we see the mites walking less when we put fiber on the leaves? So the hypothesis behind this was that the presence of the fibers might actually cause the mites to stop walking or to settle down in the fibers. So for this experiment, we set up dishes with detached bean leaves and either fiber or no fiber, and pollen on both treatments. The mites were observed hourly over several days, and the proportion of those observations at which the mites were walking were calculated. And the location of the mites, either in the fibers or outside the fibers, were recorded. So again, here's the data. We have the proportion of observations at which the mites were walking on the y-axis and the day on the x. The first thing to note is that we see a significant, or quite a decrease in the amount of time mites are walking in both treatments after the first day. And there is no difference in the total proportion of time walking between the two treatments with or without fibers. What we do see, however, is in the treatments where fibers were placed on the leaves, we see about two-thirds of the mites that are walking on the leaf surface and not in the fiber patches. So we move on to our second question with this, and that was, do the mites disperse aerially in a passive manner from the leaf surfaces? So we set up an experiment where we again used the bean seedlings and put either fibers or no fibers on the leaves and added either a sticky barrier tangle foot to the stem or left the stem open so the mites could walk off. We counted the mites that were on the stem and on the leaves and looked again at the mite retention. We had the proportion retained and either no tack trap or tack trap, which is that sticky barrier, and no fibers or fibers. What we see in this case is a significant effect of the fibers, as we've seen in the rest of the work, and we see a significant effect of this sticky barrier, indicating that the mites do walk off the plant to disperse to some, at least some extent. And the other thing to note is this treatment where we had this tack trap sticky barrier and the fibers. We did not retain 100% of the mites in that treatment, indicating that the mites are doing this passive aerial dispersal from the seedlings. So in summary, at the scale of a leaf, the size of the patch and the patch distribution did not influence adult retention. These mites do respond to patches when they're placed on the upper leaf surface. The amount of time the mites walk does not change in the presence of these trichome mimic fibers, and that we do see both aerial dispersal and ambulatory movement contributing to the loss of mites in the absence of trichomes on plants. So our hypothesis that we started with, that these behavior of the predatory mites is underlying the abundance we see, in relation to the hypothesis, we conclude that we do see that there are some factors or forces that have selected for this behavioral response in the mites in response to the trichomes. And this shows up as active dispersal from these plants that are lacking trichomes, and it would account for the observed variation we see in field plantings related to the varying levels of these leaf trichomes. With that, I will thank our lab support staff and agencies for funding and take questions. Yes?
How does it relate to, if you put prey mites onto your plants to see how having the patches relates to predation?
The question is, how do putting prey mites on the leaves influence the predation? That's work we haven't done yet. It's probably the next step, and we're interested in looking at it.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility the trichomes may or may not affect the prey, which then might or might not affect the phytoceids. So that's a good next question. Any further questions? Thank you.